All right, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. Here we are in Pearland, Texas. And welcome to everybody online today. We have a good looking crowd today, so glad you're all here. Everybody grab your coffee and your donuts and your kolaches, and Vivian's out greeting people. We're just saying happy birthday to one of the dear saints here. They could outrun me on any given day. I promise you that. We're going to open up with a couple songs. We'll talk about what happened last night, and we're going to see if anybody's online here. We got several people on. I'm looking, so there's a whole bunch of people online. All right, good. We're going to do a couple toe tappers, and then we'll... What we hope when you're toe tapping, it jingles all the cash out of your pocket, so you just pick it up for the offering plate. That's the whole deal, is what we're trying to do. I'm teasing. Let's go. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs, Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You must be how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I hope He lives in your heart. Where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Fountain so rich and sweet, cast I for salt at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. And welcome you all to be here and appreciate seeing you. It's a beautiful day. Couldn't beat the weather today. Had a great night last night, and we had no idea if anybody would come out or not, you know, when you have that kind of thing. You had about 200, 201 right in that area. Evangelistically speaking, we had thousands. But a fisherman's story, right? But we had 201.
Have somebody running your clicker?
Yes, we did. Annie was sitting on the front porch, and we would tell exactly, and she has the tally. She was going down how many cars. The first hour, we had a lot. There was like three cars, no, three kids per minute, three cars per minute. It's like, wow. We were really just rolling through, and then when it got dark, it stopped. But pretty well, we had maybe 5 to 10 cars in the last hour. But it was a good time, and thank you all for giving. Matter of fact, when we say amen, I'm going to take a big drum of the candy and put it on the Luann's desk. On the way out, trick-or-treat yourself, and feel free to grab one or two if you know somebody. Those are in hermetically sealed bags, I guarantee you. But get those, and feel free to take them to the people that you know, and we don't want laying around here to feed the mice. They get enough food during the week, so our mice are chubby around here to begin with. But feel free to do that, and we will do that here just in a second. We'll get that out there for you. So thank you. I want to thank everybody for the giving of that, and you just can't be outgive. You just can't outgive God, but you guys sure give it a shot. All the funds that you did for that, and the people that put a little extra, and thank you. The kids, it was kind of neat to get to talk to every person in the cars, and they said, you know, we come every year, or and we've got to tell them about the live nativity drive-through that we're going to have in December, which will be December 18th, 19th, and 20th. Another live thing, but it'll be driving through, so it'll be different this year. And we apologize that it wasn't as, you know, they're not walking out with big old huge Walmart sacks full of candy, but it was a good time, so we appreciate that. They got a little flashlight and stuff, so thank you for that and giving. Matter of fact, is everybody here? Annie, do you got those? Just one person's here? We was going to give out a little rose to some of the ladies that just worked extra hard. Just bring me one then, Annie. And we'll let you present that to Becky. Thank you. Becky was in her Wonder Woman outfit last night. We're going to give the other one to Anna and Luann because they just worked super hard, and Pat and Anna's kids were working on decorating. They were all in these huge bubbles like jelly beans or something. We were trying to let people not think that we were COVID, I think, with all the different, but it was adorable. So a lot of work goes into that stuff, folks. And I think we don't realize until you actually, it's your job this year to do it. So but thank you for that. We want to let you know that tonight or this afternoon is Jesse's visitation, and all the information about the visitation and the funeral are right here, but it'll be at Sagemont. And that's 3 to 5 this afternoon, and then 10 o'clock in the morning. Be praying also not only for Earlene and the whole Outlaw family, but Mona Ray and her entire family. Kaylee is on her last days, last hours. Annie didn't think she'd make it through the night last night, Helen. I don't know if you know, have an update this morning on Kaylee.
She was okay this morning. The early part of the night is rather bad.
Okay. So just pray that she goes into eternity as smoothly as possible and just dances in. And we're going to talk about that during the sermon, just some stuff of how to deal with that. I think the rest of the stuff, we had a business meeting Wednesday night. Appreciate you all coming in and getting online for the business meeting. That was fun. And it teaches you how to do Zoom. And if you like to do Zoom, we got Bible studies on Sunday morning, a couple of them. Philip Hickman does one, and his starts, I believe, at 9 o'clock. And then Philip and Monica have one in the afternoon, or right after. What time is yours, 11:30, Philip?
It's 11:45 now.
11:45, okay. To get everybody a good chance to get home.
Yes, sir.
And to get on your Bible study. And you're on a certain topic right now?
Yes.
Book of Acts. Ooh, okay. That'd be good. If you haven't been, Carl and Amber came through last night. The Mans came through with their kids, and she's showing pretty good. They're going to have a little sprinkle for her, which is our way of giving baby-wise. It's not a baby shower. It's a baby sprinkle. So anyway, that will be Sunday, November 15th. Bring the stuff, and you know, we won't have an event. Just bring your stuff, and we'll make sure she gets it for Carl and Amber. Left and texted me and said, we just left the church parking lot crying because we miss you so bad, but they just don't feel comfortable coming right now until this slows down a little bit. If you haven't been out of the church, feel free to go up to the top of the stairs. Don't go any further. They're doing the flooring up there, but it gives you a chance to look at the flooring to see, give you an idea of what it's going to look like. And it's looking good. So if you want to go out there, feel free. Just be careful. All right. Is that enough? Let's have the ushers come forward. Tonight on the show, we have Alice Cooper's Rock Center people are going to be on the show tonight. And I get rumored that Alice Cooper, the rocker, is going to actually call in to the show tonight. I hope he does. But that'll be tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time on BBS Radio. And that'll be a hoot. But Alice has his own youth centers in Phoenix, Arizona that he supports. So Gwen, we're going to ask you, have you been up to your place in Mode for a while? You can do that this week?
Last week?
Well, you look pretty good for that.
Yeah.
That's what I had kids for, was to mow the lawn.
Me too.
It didn't work, did it? No, me neither. Me neither. I failed on that thing. Anyway, Gwen, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father, we have come before you this morning with thankful hearts. We're thankful, our Father, for this day. We're thankful for this opportunity to assemble ourselves today in your church. We're thankful for the chance to worship you this morning, our Father, our living God. Be with us now to go through this part of our service. Bless this offering, our Father. Be with us now and guide, guard, and direct us in everything that we do.
Yes.
In this name we ask it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We're going to just be all over the Bible today. So, you know, if you haven't voted, vote. It's going to be a wild couple days. But I think by Tuesday night, we're going to know, and it's going to be so clear cut, it's not even going to be funny. But I've been wrong before. I said that we'd be done in the church a year ago. So that tells you what I know. But I really think it's going to, I just pray and I'll keep praying, Lord, whatever it is, it's decisive. And we need to pray for our streets and our neighborhoods and that people just don't get goofy. They're getting goofy enough. It's just amazing when people don't get their way. They just have little temper tantrums. But just pray for peace in the middle of all this. Because He is Lord. And if it doesn't go whoever you voted for's way, he's still Lord. He's still in control. So if it doesn't, don't get all excited. He's still in control. So I'm catching my breath. Once I catch my breath, we'll get going. You guys look good today. You look extra good. Oh, it's because my glasses are filthy. I'm teasing. I was talking to Don at BBS Radio California. He said there's some people out across the nation that watches our show and just loves it and wouldn't miss being with us every Sunday morning. So whoever you are out there that watches us, we have never met. I hope someday we get a chance to meet, at least in heaven. But kick us an email. Let me know that who you are. And we just welcome you and consider yourself part of the family. Come on in. If you were here, I'd give you candy. But you can have a free kolache on me. But anyway, just nice. Because we would have never done this. I would have been advocate against this. And I just love that we hear from literally around the world from Sunday morning and in the Sunday night program. You know, what do you do as we kind of segue? 2020 has just kicked some people's backsides, hasn't it? I know probably every person that's graduated seminary just went, ooh, you wasn't supposed to say it that way, Pastor. Well, you can relate what I'm saying, right? Okay. It just comes into your life and it's just like, this is not what I wanted, nor did I expect. And maybe this very week is just a situation that hard times, grieving times, painful times, had to lay off some people this week. It was not fun. I think that's all the layoffs we're going to have to do, but I'm not for sure because nobody's for sure. Let's be honest. And that, I think that's one thing that's got us all mixed up. And maybe it's just me, but I like it when I know what's going on and able to control it. You know what I mean? There's no control on this world right now. God's in control, but there's nothing that can't say that when you wake up in the morning, it's going to be completely different than what it was when you went to bed. So you might as well get in that mode of things in the same old way are never going to be in the same old way. But God's in control. I want to prove this to you this morning. If I'm lying, I'm dying, I can just be laid out right here. Boom. If I'm lying. Coming to church this morning, and anybody that knows me knows I'm very, another unseminary word, anal. I am anal, okay? I'm Mr. Anal. You look up anal, there's a picture of me going, you know, it's me. I mean, that's me. That is exactly who I am. I'm very OCD. I go to a place when I get, and I won't tell you because it tells you how goofy I am, but there's a spot on the highway, a couple of spots on the highway that I have to be at on the way here on Sunday mornings. At the very minute. That's how anal I am. Okay. I was getting on 288. Thank goodness there's a construction. Because if there's construction, it blows this guy in a whole different. I have to get off on Alameda and speed to get here. To get those spots on the road. As I was coming, something just told me, pull off and go through your sermon notes. I don't do this. I thought, okay, now God, I'm going to be late. I pull off an Alameda Genoa off 288 and just go and look off side of the road, low indention on the side of the road, and just read through my sermon notes and was there 17 minutes. I know exactly how long I was there. 17 minutes. I thought, okay, that's still the sermon that I want to do, although I changed it three times over the week. Get back on 288, come down Shadow Creek to Cullen. A huge wreck is there that had just happened. The police just showed up. The fire department was there. The ambulance was arriving, and the guys plowed into the side of the telephone pole. And it had just happened a few minutes before. And I'm thinking, God, you're in control. Now, I'm not saying I would have been damaged in that, but I never change what I'm going to do. Never. And my past wives will tell you, never. I don't do that. But today I did. When God tells you to do something, folks, you need to obey because he is still Lord. He is still in control of our very decisions that we made, whether you're even here or not. He has that ability. So when there's somebody that's slowing you down in traffic, when there's somebody that just cut in front of you in Walmart, don't pull out that sharp ink pen and go after them. Say, okay, I'm going to be a few more minutes behind in getting where I needed to go after I leave here. There could be a reason for that. God's in control of everything. And I want you to see this as we get into God's word. Turn into 1 Thessalonians, if you would. Chapter 5. What do you do when you are experiencing the worst day, time, month, year, event in your life? How do you get past that? As we go into now, November 1st, we are getting ready for our Thanksgiving month, and you're supposed to be thankful. How can I be thankful when everything around me is falling apart? Am I the only one that needs this? Apparently so. The rest of you, we will have an invitation at the end for you to repent because you're lying through your teeth. How do we look at life and go, thanks, God, when everything around us is crumbling? When you've lost your best friend? When your dream is absolutely gone? I can keep on going down all those things that could be devastating. But 2020 is going to end up maybe possibly being one of those years for a lot of us that we go, you know, when we tell our great-great-great-grandchildren, back in 2020, that was my worst year ever because this happened, this happened, this happened. But how can we find God in the middle of the worst times of your life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. What am I supposed to be thankful for? First Thessalonians 5:18. If you're there, say, oh yeah. Here we go. I'll jump up to 16, okay? Might as well get all of it in. I'm going to give you the bonus edition of the verses today. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a key word there. In. It doesn't say for. It says in. So it's not assuming that everything that happens to you, you have to be thankful for. But in that position that you are in with Christ, you ought to be thankful for him because you are in him. Okay, so just think about what you've gone through. Just think about the people that we've lost, people that are sick that we may lose, people that are getting ready to have major surgeries in their life. As you go down through all of our prayer lists, it's just active right now. What would have happened to us if we wasn't in Christ during those times? Have no idea how we would have ever made it. How would you have ever been able to have your anchor dropped in anything if we didn't have Jesus Christ for our faith? And our strength, our courage to be able to get through those times. Now, that was all free. But I'm going to show you about probably four or five if I get to them, of why you ought to be thankful. Number one, the Bible says that we should always be thankful for the grace that God gives me daily. Amazing grace. We don't know diddly squat about grace. We don't. We don't know nothing about holiness. Now, you get pastors in front of you that tell you they are. You may run into a few of them and say, oh, well, you know, look at me. Well, you know better than that to me. But grace, we know very little about. I don't think we have a concept on what it's all about. Ephesians 2:8 says, Ephesians 2:8, write that down. You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. It was a gift. That means no matter where you're at right now, and I'm looking at all kinds of different ages, all kinds of different races, all kinds of different economic classes here, but I'm going to let you know, it doesn't matter who you are. We were all in the same boat. We are in need of a Savior because we're all sinners heading toward hell, and the only way to prevent us to go to hell, going to hell, is to believe in Jesus Christ because we are saved through His grace. And the rest of the word, the verse says, by believing. You got to have an action there. He doesn't just come in and go, okay, looks like a nice room of people from Pearland. I'll just save y'all. No. He says, I'll die on the cross for you, and all you have to do is to receive and believe that I did that for you. And some of you are playing the ping pong game of going, I don't deserve it. Oh, now I do. Oh, I don't deserve it. Now I do. Oh, I worked 4 hours last night handing candy out to people we didn't know. Oh, I deserve it. Well, if you think handing out candy is going to get you there, wait till you see the DVD in heaven of what Jesus really went through for you. There's nothing that we can do if we spend the rest of our lives, every second of our life, doing the most horrible type of work to try to obtain it. There's not enough bicycles and pure white shirts and little books of Mormon that I can go around and knock on doors and hand out to earn what He did for me. There's nothing that can earn that. There's not enough street corners that I can stand on and hand out Watchtower magazines to make Him say, okay, you're good enough. Come on in. There's nothing that I can do that's going to earn it. It is through the grace of God. That is something that no matter where you're at right now, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what kind of year we've had, praise God, I'm thankful for His grace. Absolutely. Every time we wake up, we ought to say, thank God I got another breath, and for a lot, you allow me to be here. Because I don't deserve a minute of it. A couple of the verses under that one. You can kind of write down if you take notes. Take notes. It keeps you from falling asleep. That's from the book of Greg, chapter 5, verse 2. Psalm 103. Now this is a long one. 2 through 10, but it's good. David gives us a list, a shopping list of the gifts of God's grace. And it goes like this. These are things you ought to be thankful for right now. So if you're having one of those, you ever get those? Those, oh, poor pitiful me. Or you really had something seriously. Let me be honest with you. The last week or two and the last couple days have been probably the hardest days for some of you in our church because we've lost probably the most precious member this church will ever see. That gave his first breath in this building and stayed faithful to this church to his last breath, to his very last breath. And if we laugh after this and all that, don't take me as being sacrilegious. But it's tough for some people. So this is tough. But I want you to see this shopping list of what God's grace does for us. Verse 2, I will not. It goes on, skip a little bit. Not forget the glorious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins by grace. He heals me by grace. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. I'm abbreviating 2 through 10, so read it all, but this is it abbreviated. He fills me, my life, with good things. He's merciful and tender toward those who don't even deserve it. Me. Why did he even care possibly to prevent me from being in an accident this morning? Why did the guardian angel say, hey, wait, pull off to the side of the road, Mr. Eno. Listen to me now. Pull off to the side. Why? He's merciful for those people that don't even deserve it. That's me. And I got a feeling it may be you, but if it's not, it's somebody that you know. He's slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. I like that. Because I do. You do too. But he never bears a grudge. Why? Because of his grace. Every one of these things in those nine verses, are all in there because of his grace. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. If I got what I deserved in life, I wouldn't be here. I'd be a grease spot on the carpet. Or the smashed bug that you have to scrape off your windshield because that's what I deserve. But because of his grace, I get him. So why in the situation you're in right now, you should praise God and be thankful? Because of his grace. Even though it's going to be hard to lose Kaylee, to have that void in our heart with Jesse, I thank God that I got to meet him. I thank God that I got to spend time with Kaylee. That's what life's all about. And us believers, we get to see it all over again. That was all practice. Why does it hurt? Because you love him so much. But because of God's grace, and if you believe in him, we get to go to a place where there is no more goodbyes, no more pain, no more watching people fade away, losing weight, not able to go to the bathroom, skin turning other colors, things that just shouldn't be allowed to happen in people. We all deserve it. But we get to experience them in heaven because of God's grace. That's what we ought to be thankful for as we go into November. And we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks on thankfulness and looking at that and how we need to be more thankful. Number two, they fixed all of my clocks, so every one of my clocks work today. They had them all set last night, but they didn't set them back. So now they had to go back and go through all of them again. Number two, I can always be thankful. Because God has a plan for me. God has something that he wants you to do. No doubt about it. It's obvious that life isn't always good. A lot of things bad happen. And not everything that happens in your life is planned by God. So don't blame God for your mistakes. Don't blame God for your choices. You make a bad choice, you go to pull back a bloody stub. I don't care where you're at. If you're out there and there's a table saw out there, don't put me around a table saw. And, you know, it always amazed me. I was a raccoon grade school, going to grade school. We had shop class in 8th grade. You know, we made those little things like they have at a Cracker Barrel, you know, with the, you move the T's and all that. That's about all we ever made in shop class. But I never understood why Don Hurd, my teacher at grade school, record grade school, was missing 2 fingers. But he was teaching shop class. I don't know if I like that, but it makes sense. He knows what not to do. So when he would hold up his hand, and I think he was missing two fingers like this. He would hold up his hand. He said, "You need to make sure you pull back and don't." Well, yeah, I think that's a pretty good illustration. Thank you, teacher. So those bad choices that we make, those mistakes, don't blame those on God, because God has a plan that he wants you to end up doing. And there's a plan A. And in reality, there is no plan B with God, although he'll tolerate, he will have a permissive will for you, but he has a perfect will for you. And sometimes we're allowed to live in that permissive will until he just makes it more uncomfortable for us to react, actually will shift into the perfect will. And I do believe, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, that there is a sin unto death. I had dinner with Elvis Presley's stepbrother, and he told me, this was years ago back in Orlando, Florida, when I was a youth director. He had me in the youth group, and he was telling us about Rick Stanley. And he was telling us about, he said, I believe my brother, God wanted to have so much for him, but he sinned unto death, and there was no more for coming back. So he said, okay, Elvis, if you're not, I'm taking you on home. I believe there's a point of no return if we just get so, but those are our choices. But God says, I have a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I have a good plan for you. I don't plan to hurt you. A plan that will give you hope and a good future. Philip, what is that in another version? Philip? Jeremiah 29:11.
I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you good things and not to harm you.
Absolutely. Have a good plan for you. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Anybody else, your navel would have puckered up and go, oh, don't call on me for that one. I knew I could call on Philip. He has a plan for us. There's this verse in two different chapters in Isaiah 53 and then again in Isaiah 56. It says that Jesus was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement for our sins was laid on him. Jesus took the suffering at the cross, and Jesus took my death so that I would have a plan with him, so he could do something with me. Romans 8:28, we know in all things, God works for good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Why should I be thankful? God's got something he wants me to do. He's got a plan for me. Number three, how am I doing? I'm doing all right. Hey, I've only lost three of you, but to be honest, you're the same three that fall asleep every week, so I don't take it personal. I need to be thankful no matter what happens for my life, for God promises to never leave me. He's always there to never leave me. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Some versions, I will never forsake you. He is always there. I'm doing a huge webinar, I think Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, for a university on loneliness and depression. How many's been there? How many can be honest enough to say, I'm lonely and I'm starting to feel depressed? You've been there? Because we feel that we are absolutely alone sometimes in the world. That we have nobody with us. And physically, that may be true. When I go home, it's not a big place, but it's absolutely empty. Empty. And every now and then, it sneaks in. You're alone. But that verse, for all of you widow ladies, that verse, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be right there with you. That's something to be thankful for. That's something we need to praise God for no matter what, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. Philippians 4:6. When you feel like you're alone, you need just to pray to him. So you don't get all. Anybody else get like this? Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious or worried about anything. Instead, pray about everything. always making your requests known to God with thanksgiving. Always. So go down the list that I'm giving you today. If you're writing it down, Lord, I thank you that you're there. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for me. You have something you have in mind for me to do. Philippians 4:6. Then the fourth thing, I can always be thankful for the changes that God's making in me. I thank God that I'm not who I'm going to be, but I thank God I'm not who I was. In church, you're probably saying, well, Greg, you've been in the ministry 30-some years. I think I may be hitting around 40. I'm not for sure. I may be over 40. Started when I was, I broke 40. Getting old. Excuse me, I got to take a nap. I just discovered I need a nap. But I thank God that I am not who I was 2 years ago. I thank God I'm not who I was a year ago. Every day of my life, I thank God that I'm not who I was then. Because some of us get in the mode, we just want to get saved. I just want my ticket punched, God. Just get me to where I can get into heaven. But don't change me. Don't mess up my life. Well, congratulations, you're going to be miserable because you're not part of it yet. He wants to get you saved, and he wants to get you changed. And thank God that it's a process that we need to work on. I can always thank God for those constant changes that he's making in me. And if we're still, like we was talking about, what was it, last week? Talk about the shallow end and going into the deep end. If you're still only getting the spirit about ankle high, you need to move on a little bit to the deep, because that's where the real fish is. That's where the real miracle is going to take place in your life. So move on out, push the envelope, and allow him to change who you are. In Romans 5:3-4, we can have joy in the middle of our troubles because we know these troubles produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Okay, wait. Every one of you want to have hope, right? Yeah. How do you do it? You got to have pain. You got to have hurt. It says right there, we know that trouble produces endurance. How can you build that up? Unfortunately, you have to go through the pain. So to get to the hope stage, you have to go through the different parts of it to get there. There's a vehicle that we need to get in to drive to that destination. Some of you just want to jump into hope. And you can have that with God. But there's a process that works in that. And you got to get into the process. And I thank God that he's changing me. I just thank God I'm not who I was. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. 2 Corinthians 3, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. You know, I'm not everything that ought to be yet. I'm not there. And I hope that don't disappoint you. But you, most of you remind me that all the time. You're not quite there, your pastor. Neither are you. There's a process still. There's something still vivid at 98 that you can learn in that Bible that's laying on your lap. That'll draw you a little bit closer. She's a pretty good gal. But you're not there yet. Because there's something left that word still has, that living word that can draw us and make us more like Christ. Because if he wasn't, you would already be Christ-like and you wouldn't need the Savior to begin with. And none of us qualify for that. That's awesome. Got a whole bunch of verses on this. But write down 2 Corinthians 12:9. Psalm 50:23, and then Psalm 97:12. And then I'll get to my last point, and we're going to shut her down. I'm getting kind of hungry. Yeah, hand me some candy out there, back there, and I'll preach another hour.
What was the last one?
Do what?
The last verse.
It was Psalm 97:12.
Thank you.
Psalm 50:23, giving thanks in the sacrifice that honors me. And then Psalm 97:12, remember what your God has done for you and give thanks to him. 97:12. Number five, and I'm done. I can always be thankful for the home that God's prepared for me. Folks, heaven's right around the corner. And I don't know if I've ever been more serious in my life. I am so ready for heaven. I don't know if you are or not. I'm not advocating that you want to die, but I'm ready. I'm ready to not have to worry about duct tape on the floor to keep the carpet together or mold on a new building that we haven't had service in. I'm ready for heaven where I can walk in and not have to talk to one more constructor. Not have to worry about one more offering being enough. Not have to worry about one more kid if they're going to make it home safe. Or not worry about one more child that's going to get, I'm afraid Curtis is going to get transferred off to another state, to another part of the world. And not have to worry about when that happens. Not worry about who was it last night. There was maybe it's Pat Nana's child that drives or something like that. Oh. And Lori was talking about her had one that was driving. It's like, oh, my. Don't have to worry about that. I thank God that there's one more place that he's prepared for me, and it's heaven. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be also. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. That's what the five things that you ought to be thankful for in the middle of possibly the worst week of your life. And I know what some of you are saying because I'm looking in your eyeballs. But Greg, you don't know how bad this hurts. You didn't hear the words. Not my words, but the words of the Bible. God knows how bad it hurts. And he'll give you that strength. He'll give you that hope to get through it. He'll give you that peace in the middle of the worst time and area of your life. So no matter what's happened, no matter what's going to happen, there's always room for thanks and giving thanks to the Lord right now. So let's give him some. Before we have a word of prayer, if there's anybody here that needs just an extra lift of prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come forward because the whole world's going to see you. But if you just stand up where you're at, just remember me. Just stand up, and when we have a prayer, I won't call your name out, thank you. But if you do, just stand up where you're at, and we're going to, as a church, just lift you up. I got to get through this. I got to get through this time. This is a tough time for me. I don't like sitting beside watching one more person go. I don't like it. Anybody else? Now, in that movement, I want to tell you, there's an action that takes place in that standing up. And you may not feel any different, but God's up there going, okay, wait, you made the indication you want something different. You made the indication that this isn't just plain church. This is being the church and allowing the verses that were just read to be infiltrated and motivated into your life. So if you need that extra, go ahead and stand up. And we're just going to close in a word of prayer. If you're out there right now listening online, do something to say, God, he's talking about me. And if you're sitting in the house by yourself, don't stand up. It's okay. But if you need that, that's okay. Now let's have a word. Dear Lord, we come to you giving you thanks. Giving you thanks for these five things, but thousands and thousands of other things, Lord, that we ought to be thankful for. Those folks that stood up, Lord, give them an extra boost of energy, extra boost of courage, of strength, of faith, of endurance, of wisdom, of clarity. And Lord, I can just keep going, but let them feel your presence when whatever they're dealing with, they need your comfort. They need that strength. And Lord, they're leaning on you. Lord, leaning on anybody else isn't going to work. Even though family's awesome and they're always there, whatever, but to lean on you. Lord, be with those folks, Lord, that are hurting. Be with the outlaw family. Be with Kaylee, Lord, and the people that surround her. Be with Mona Ray, Lord, the people that surround her and their family. Lord, be with our country. Be with our church. Be with our families. And Lord, be with each family that drove through here last night. And may they know right now that we're lifting them up. And Lord, this is a place that will love them because we love the one that created them. Give us an awesome day. Give us the light in the middle of the darkness. And I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Because you are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Have an awesome week. God bless you. Join us right here next week for another edition of Faith Springs Live right here. God bless you. I'm going to go get some candy. We're going to hand it out to everybody. And if you give me your mailing address, I'll mail you some. God bless you. Have a good week.